Hello and welcome to another episode of the Successful Home Ownership Show with your host, Richard McKenzie, out of the greater Cincinnati area. And today, we are going to be talking about keeping from getting overwhelmed with a house, getting in over your head with a house that maybe you are not really yet equipped to own. Whoa, that's a tough topic, Richard. Are you sure you want to cover that? Yes, I do. Yesterday's inspection dealt with a house that the person who bought it, I don't think was really equipped to own that house. Now, there's two different ways to look at that. One is they don't know how to take care of the house. Or secondly, they don't realize that things exist with the house that even if they were unqualified or felt they couldn't do themselves, would they even know about them to hire somebody to make those such repairs? There could be a third way to look at that. I just can't think of it right now. But the point is, in this particular, and I'll probably just for ease of characterization call this a pre-listing inspection, there's just such a boatload of stuff with this house that it's just going to be overwhelming, and I'm not sure which things can be fixed and which are not going to be fixed. But of course, it is our job to point all of them out to make sure that they are identified, and then people can make decisions to do whatever they want with that information. My dad once did say, Richard, you cannot control what other people do with information that you give them. Okay, so I'll just leave that there. You cannot control what other people do with information that you give them. Well, and I want to also give a little information about this house so you can visualize what type of house this is. This is a 100-year-old plus year old house. Okay. A unique architected house. Basically, when it was built, it was an art piece. I'll just call it that. It's a fairly large house in a older neighborhood where there was no garage. Okay, so it was built before, right around the time cars came out. This one, I don't think this one really had a garage. It was more like a concrete wall around an area where you can park. Maybe it used to have a cover over it, I'm not sure. But it's not there any longer, neither here nor there. Houses of this era, if it's your first time buying a house, and it's a one-of-a-kind sort of house with many systems, and I'm going to define what systems are. I don't just mean the plumbing system, the heating system. I mean there are differentiable parts of a house that you've got to keep an eye on, and you've got to take care of, and you have to own. So let me break it down on this house. And the reason I'm giving you this information, folks, is when you're looking at houses, even in a constrained market where there's very few houses available, and as they say, the picking is thin. You know, it's thin pickings at this point. Slim pickings, okay? You don't have, and I don't mean the country singer or the actor. I mean the real, it's slim pickings, man. You just don't have a lot of houses available at the time I record this. And if one comes on the market and it's in your price range, oh, I'll just put a contract on it. Man, you got to know what you're getting into. Know what you are getting into. For goodness sakes, of course, get it inspected. Let's go back to these systems. If you look at a house and you see it has brick, okay, and if it was built, you know, before 1955, it's probably going to be a structural brick house, which is two courses of brick connected by a connector row that is perpendicular to them, probably air gap in the middle, and every seventh row you have that perpendicular brick that ties those bricks together, which makes a very strong structural wall. So you have brick, and in this particular house you had concrete or scratch coat plus lathe plus finish coat, two coat stucco, which I call concrete stucco, okay, just to call it something that makes sense. And then around all the concrete stucco, you've got this cedar trim. So it's kind of the gingerbread German kind of look in Cincinnati that's very common. And then you have a bunch of wood trim overhang pieces in addition to that. And then you have a cover. So that's your siding. Okay, that's all your siding that you have. So you have stucco, you have wood trim, and you have brick and a poured foundation. So I look at those three sidings as three different systems that you have to maintain. What happens if the wood trim doesn't, the wood trimmings around the windows and around the sections of the stucco aren't kept well sealed? Water gets in, water deteriorates, even cedar eventually rots and shrinks, and the sun bakes it if you don't keep it sealed and painted. That's exactly what you have here. Well, how much does that cost? A lot. I don't know what estimate to give it. I felt so bad inspecting all this, knowing that this person is going to know about all this stuff that they're just not aware of. If a person says during the inspection, well, the only real thing I'm concerned about is this. And in your mind, you're thinking, oh my goodness, there's at least 15 to 20 more things that I know about that are expensive items that need to be dealt with. And so you've got the stucco, which also has gaps, and pieces have fallen out on the left side of the house because they were not kept well sealed between the wood and the stucco and kept well painted. Why is that? Because if you have other interests in your life, your house is going to weather. Your house is going to deteriorate unless you go outside and see what is going on. What was clear in this situation was the person really loved to spend time inside and didn't go outside and didn't have anybody else to tell them what's going on with their house until the day comes that they decide they're going to move away and they want somebody to inspect it so they know what they have. Oh, man, what a burden. Okay, so there's bushes hiding stuff. There's vines hiding stuff. There's the front porch is covered, and it has a lot of water that gets on it, seeps through, and the roof above the covered porch also is a tin roof with tar on it, and that tar is all dried up, and there's leaking going on there, and there's wood trim and posts and other very nice finished items that are cracked from the plaster, not the plaster, the stucco that's on them, concrete cracking, water seeping into the porch, getting through the concrete. And in the basement, in the front room, that there's a door that goes from the basement into that big room, storage room, there is delaminating, oxidized, heavily rusted beams that are deteriorated that are going to be very expensive to either repair or replace. You just hear the dollar signs going off. Why is this? Because cooled water on the front porch is not really dealt with. Nobody thinks about it. Nobody goes outside. Nobody sees these things. So if you are not of a somewhat savvy background, who hasn't attended home ownership classes, and if you're a first time home buyer and you don't know a lot about houses, but you feel compelled to own a house, fill your brain. Go back to the other episodes of these podcasts. Look stuff up. Get into classes. Know how to buy a house and how to own a house and take care of a house and know all the systems of a house. Know the difference between a water heater and a furnace. We have had people who say, is this the heater? No, that's the furnace. Yes, the furnace. Is this the water heater? No, that's the furnace. Oh, well, where's the water heater? That's that there. What's that over there? That's the gas main. What's that over there? That's the water main. Is this my electric stuff? Yeah, this is your main electrical panel, etc. So these are things that we hear. So let's talk about different other systems with this house. So we have all the bushes. I call them a system too. The surrounding vegetation of the house can affect the house. That's another system. Cut the stuff back. Keep the stuff off the house. How about the driveway? That's another system. The driveway was heavily deteriorated. That's going to cost some money. The concrete steps on the front and back leading up to the various porches had some significant gaps where water can get in and get in against the foundation and seep into the basement. Those are systems. The roof. There are three different roofs with this house. The upper roof is a three-tab, and if you visualize a German mansard-style roof kind of thing, maybe kind of a Dutch, I don't know, somewhere in between there, and it had an upper roof for the third floor, and it had a roof that was sort of angled quite a bit for almost like a salt box style, modified with German lattice work and trim. And then you have sort of like the first and second floor roof portions were dimensional shingle, fiberglass roof. So you had two different roofs there, and then you had the porch roof, which is a tin roof, which has been coated with the tar. So you have three different roofs. And the roof that is for the first and second floor portions, the dimensional shingle roof, was probably about 15 to 20 years old. It has some life left on it, but the upper roof was definitely, I had to go across the street to get some good views, and I could see various shingles missing, and the wear was much more than the lower roof. So you had repairs needed for the front porch roof. You had repairs needed and replacement of the roof, of the uppermost roof. That's going to cost some money. The middle roof, the dimensional one, had some more life left on it. I really didn't see any areas that needed shingle replacement. However, inside the third floor attic was some efflorescence and moisture issues on the left side chimney. So the flashing around the chimney water's getting in there. The right side chimney, which was not visible inside the house, but was an outside feature, did have some flashing issues, which had some moisture stains on the third floor ceiling, and that had to have been noticed. How do you just own the house and ignore that? Because you don't notice, because you don't have a trained eye. It doesn't, if you have other interests in your life that have nothing to do with the house, and you work a lot, and you're just not there to look at the house, to notice things, then are you really equipped to own a house? Buy the house when you feel like it is not going to own you, you're going to own it. And if you are in a position where you don't know what you don't know, and it usually takes a third party to point that out to you, you don't know about what you don't know. That is a dangerous position to be in, because mistakes and ignoring things always end up costing you pain and money. And those two go hand in hand, pain and money. So, everything boils down to taking care of the various systems of your house. And the electric had been dealt with decently, but there's also, even if your local municipality inspects the panels and passes them, that doesn't mean that everything's honky-dory. This house had a 100-amp supplied panel. Okay, so the electric coming in was 100 amps, which for a house of this size is probably undersized. Thank goodness there was a gas stove. That was one saving grace. But off of that panel was a sub-panel of also 100 amps. Whoa, that should give you a little notice. Off of the same panel was also a 90-amp fused panel on the third floor. That should definitely be replaced. Fuses are really not any use for a modern house, so that needs to be replaced. But the finding that I noted was a concern that the house may be under-amped, in other words, not enough supply, for the size of the house and the uses. Now, only one person was living in this house, but what if multiple people were in multiple rooms with multiple things running and multiple hair dryers, and the washing machine and dryer were running at the same time, and the dishwasher, and then lights were on and the furnace running? Or let's scratch that. Furnace would be fine. What about the air conditioner in the middle of summer with all that stuff running? And ceiling fans. Well, we could have some breakers tripping because of overtaxing. So that was the finding we put in there, in addition to the fact that many of the outlets were three-prong, which means they should be grounded, but they were not, in fact, grounded. Okay, so that needs to have further evaluation by a licensed electrician, paying particular attention to the possible under-amping, under-supplying the house, and the outlets that should either be on breakers or GFCI receptacles, so that if a surge comes through, those at least will go off. And that just needs to be looked at for certain. Now, some good news item, a lot of the plumbing had been replaced, okay, with PVC pipes, drain pipes, and so forth. And also the water main, which probably used to be lead, that had been replaced also. So that's good. Those were some good things. The house, by the way, was built like a tank. Very solid house, but if you don't keep up with the systems, and water is never your friend outside, okay, that affects stuff. The simple ownership of things, and also the windows. Some of the windows had been replaced, but on the first floor, all of them were wooden with storm windows, and there were lots of paint flakes in the window frames, which probably are lead paint flakes. So if you've got an FHA loan, that's going to be a problem for that. They're going to flag that. So again, there were multiple things to deal with. There was also an unlevel area of the floor on the first floor above the basement, but there was a crawl space addition built on the back, which may very well be the source of that hump, because the beams in the basement, aside from the front one supporting the front porch, which I've already talked about, they all looked fine, and the lally columns holding them up looked fine. There did not appear to be any gaps or goofy things going on. There also did not appear to be any elevated moisture walls aside from the front porch, front wall under the front porch. So the basement really did not have that many issues in particular. There were a few drain covers missing, possible to have the drain snaked out and scoped. That's definitely something you want to do with older houses, to make sure your sewer line and your drain lines for your gray water are all clear, free and clear. So those are things that we definitely suggest doing. Because of the things that we saw with the front porch, we suggest that a licensed structural engineer further evaluate prior to any transaction, or just in the near future. And that's something that needs to happen, because there was indeed a very faint but noticeable hairline horizontal crack on the front wall of the basement, or the basement room under the front porch. And then we also had the heavily corroded beams holding that up. So there were definitely some issues with the front porch. But the unlevel floor on the first floor, where the connection is between the addition and that, probably more or less a cosmetic item, character flaw in the house, But still, because we're having the front porch looked at and all those things by a licensed structural engineer, they might as well evaluate the other thing as well. So can you see, if you're a first-time home buyer, is this something that you would want to take on if the price is right? Or is something more along the lines of a smaller ranch, less complicated, where maybe it has 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and has a basement, poured foundation, one roof to deal with, one furnace, one air conditioner, maybe 125, 150 amp panel, maybe even just 100, but more of a simple house with simple responsibilities and a yard that is not so mature, perhaps. So things you got to think about. Can you take care of this house? Are there things that I can vend out to third parties to take care of? Do I want to take care of the lawn myself, the landscaping? Then look at the landscaping. Look at your bushes. Look at your lawn. How complicated is it going to be? Is there a place to put a lawnmower? Well, that's interesting, because this place did not have a place to put a lawnmower. So you are forced to either build a shed, there was no HOA in this area because it was a pretty old area, but if you have to build a shed, that needs to be approved in some areas, okay? Well, you're going to put your lawnmower in it. Are you going to do that yourself, or are you going to always vend out your lawn mowing responsibilities to somebody else? These are things to think about. So more simple house, and even less complicated than that, would be a condo. Ooh, you don't even need to mow your own lawn with a condo. And the HOA, a lot of times, but not all, you want to read the fine print on those, the covenants and all the HOA documentation. Who's responsible for the roof? Who's responsible for your air conditioner? Generally, you are, if it's outside, and it's generally your responsibility for that. But the siding and roof and all that stuff is generally the HOA's responsibility, and that's a shared item. Okay? But you still need to be responsible for all the other systems that are inside your condo. So things to think about. Can you take care of your house? Is your house going to own you, or are you going to own it? So with this episode, I really wanted to kind of open a few people's eyes. And agents, when you are showing your buyers houses, make sure that you know what type of capability they have. How comfortable are they with taking care of a house? First, there's all different types of first-time home buyers. Some first-time home buyers know more than a veteran who has lived in several houses but has always paid other people to do it, to take care of things. And they don't want to lift a hammer. They don't want to lift a screwdriver. So always balance all those things when you are showing properties, and make sure that they know what they're getting into. And of course, get an inspection, and hopefully you can notice things before the inspection to screen out houses that would otherwise inspect poorly or just be more than they can handle. Okay? This is Richard McKenzie with the Successful Home Ownership Show. And until the next episode, thank you for listening.